Why do we produce the IMC Radio News?
Because the chasm isn't left to right. It's top to bottom.
To give voice to people who aren't heard.
To bust up the myth of objective journalism.
Bill O'Reilly does not have a monopoly on the truth.
To build our community and re-educate the public.
To revive the voice of organized labor.
To bring forth debate so as to animate democracy.
Because I want to agitate for revolution.
Listen to the voices of your community on IMC Radio News.
This week on IMC Radio News, a report from St. Louis on the biodevastation conference and the police response to those protests, a look at more efforts at the U of I to address the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, and a celebration and farewell to longtime community activist Mary Lee Sargent. But first to these headlines.
South Korean truck drivers win strike. Truck drivers in South Korea's largest port city won their week-long strike last Thursday when the union, government negotiators, and transport companies reached an agreement that satisfied all parties. The union claimed victory, saying the government agreed to cuts in highway tolls, increases in transport service fees, and state subsidies for any fuel price hikes. The Financial Times of London quoted free market professors who criticized the government for negotiating an agreement in a strike that they viewed as illegal. They said the agreement shows that the president, who has some historic ties to South Korea's labor movement, isn't supportive enough of free market capitalism, despite the fact that he has privatized the railway and state-owned banks, both amid fierce union opposition. Nonetheless, victorious strikers who gathered at a nearby college campus were jubilant about the outcome. The industrial action by about 5,000 truck drivers threatened to close down the world's third busiest port.
IndyMedia.org reports that on June 2nd, the U.S. Federal Communications Commission plans to vote on whether to relax the rules for owning American news media. For months, an expanding media democracy movement has produced an unprecedented amount of public opposition to FCC Chair Michael Powell's proposed deregulation, as well as growing bipartisan congressional pressure for greater transparency and more public debate. Despite all this, Powell has refused to reveal the specifics of his proposed changes until after the June 2nd vote. Observers note that if the FCC decides to allow further media concentration, the resulting stampede of mega mergers would give a shrinking handful of large, politically conservative corporations even greater influence over what is reported or ignored in the news. Such concentration is not limited to the U.S. Reportedly, Powell has encouraged the European Union to follow the corporate model, ironically referred to as media convergence, a term used by global justice activists for coming together to struggle against globalization. Critics say that the public's ability to have open, informed discussion with a wide variety of viewpoints would be even further compromised if Powell's schemes are realized. They note that publicly owned airwaves in the U.S. are looking more and more like private corporate property, while the FCC and Bush appointee Powell appear for all the world like the proverbial fox guarding the henhouse.
Union evicted from offices for anti-war stance. Pop quiz: in which country can a tenant be evicted for protesting against the government? Answer: in the United States of America. That's how the Albuquerque Tribune opened an article about how the National Union of Hospital and Healthcare Employees Union District 1199 was evicted from their offices. The landlord said the union, quote, breached the terms of its lease by holding an anti-war demonstration, unquote, and for disturbing other tenants. The union did hold an anti-war rally, but it wasn't at their office, and if planning for the event became noisy, it happened after 5 p.m. in a reserved clubhouse. Despite being called by the landlord to complain, the police left after determining that the group wasn't disturbing anyone. Eleanor Chavez, director of the Hospital Workers Union, told the Tribune that she was frightened by the fact that in the U.S., a tenant can be evicted for its political views. Quote, what's happening in this country? End quote, she asked. Quote, we talk about going to war with Iraq to defend freedom. Well, how do you define freedom? End quote. The director of the New Mexico ACLU noted that in addition to the union's eviction, he has heard of tenants in apartment complexes and members of homeowners associations who have been told they can't display anti-war signs, bans which are legal in the United States. For its part, the union has relocated to space rented from the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, whose director told the hospital workers, quote, Here, you're among friends, you can say whatever you want, end quote.
The Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center reports that a new independent media center, IMC Baghdad, is up and running. Although limited by the vast infrastructural damage caused by 12 years of sanctions and the recent war of aggression by the United States and its tiny coalition, this new IMC, the latest fiscally sponsored project of UCIMC, is ready to meet the challenge of constructing real democracy instead of Bush-imposed democracy in Iraq. Although it awaits the official integration into the worldwide network of more than 110 IMCs operating in more than 40 countries, IMC Baghdad is now operational.
That wraps up headlines. Thanks to Kevin Heinrich for gathering them and to Sevilla Mann for reading them. Nearly 300 people protested peacefully outside the first day of the World Agricultural Forum in St. Louis yesterday, the culmination of a counter-conference and a weekend in which the police made sweeping raids and arrests on the attendees. UCIMC reporter Sevilla Mann attended the conference and demonstration. She filed this report.
The St. Louis police said that potential Seattle-like violence was the reason for sweeping preemptive raids and 20 to 30 arrests that organizers said were highly inappropriate. On Friday morning, police seized a community center where puppets and other materials were stored and had arrested members of a household for inhabiting a building a police officer said was condemned, bicyclists for violation of a non-existent law against riding a bicycle without a license, and passengers in a van en route to the conference, on the pretext that pills in the driver's possession might be drugs. Following a publicized rally at the police building, all were released within 20 hours, and some must return for court dates in July. Those attending the counter-conference actions say the police activity was a disruption of peaceful and lawful events simply because they were activists. The conference continued as scheduled, and the final event at the World Ag Forum went on without confrontation, as organizers had said it would. The following audio was gathered from the rally that preceded the final protest. It continues with the voices of speakers who led the gathering on Alo Plaza across the street from Union Station as the Ag Forum met. It opens with a performance by the Bicycle Circus.
I said peace, cooperation, with a mind pulled over the whole nation. Corporate hogs own the news, and the news owns you. They say whatever they want, and they make you think it's true. They tell you it's okay, they tell you it's alright. Eat BT corn, open up and take a bite. Corporations are here, sensation, coming soon to a third world country near you.
And this is a plan of Monsanto. This is what they're trying to accomplish. We are trying. We are demanding that the people and the world agricultural forum come up and debate us.
Come up and debate.
They are afraid to a
public debate.
They refuse to publicly debate. Where is Monsanto? Come out, Monsanto.
Come out, Monsanto.
And debate.
Debate.
We are also here to say
that the choice
is between
the capitalist system
and the immune system.
And
we are here
on the side
of the immune system.
Join with us.
Good evening, people. I'm standing in front of you today, a man with the name Freedom, Freeman. Freeman. My name is Freeman, but I'm the descendant of slaves. I represent the part of this nation that has been the most deprived before, that had to struggle for every inch, every ounce of liberty that they got. And we are looking at a situation today that is about to deprive my people of all of this again. Unfortunately, this time around, all of us are going to be in the same boat. See, we don't know an end. I was raised in the Bible Belt, and one of the most things that I've heard in my day, and sticks with me, is that the love of money is the root of all evil. What we are seeing played out here today has nothing to do about saving the world, feeding the hungry. There ain't that much hungry people in the world when you consider all the food they got stored up somewhere. We got honey, cheese, soybeans. The government stores it up every year because they buy it to keep the farmers from getting a fair price. So we are not talking about trying to feed the world here. We are talking about trying to take over the resources of the world for our own personal use. And it will not be shared with the majority, believe me. What you'll see happen is that little group that owns and controls so much now will own and control so much more in a short time, and that group will just get smaller. You're going to have billions, billions, billions of people in a short while. No place to call home except they pay a landlord. No place to raise food. No place to go out and get the things they need for their people. This is going to be the fate of the world. There's a point in every situation where you got to say, enough is enough. And from what I've seen,
enough is enough.
Enough is enough. And it's time to stop Monsanto and corporate greed here and now. There's no time to waste.
John Kinsman is a dairy farmer and was a panelist at the Counter Conference, who had the unusual opportunity to briefly attend events of the WAF. He spoke with me afterwards on his experience there.
It was very refreshing to be at the Biodevastation Conference and to hear the very ethical and very and other experts who have dealt with real people and cared about real people. And then to go to the World Agricultural Forum, sponsored by the few big corporations that are in there for the bottom line, and hear their perspective. And it was just put you into a frame of mind that you could see what was going on. So it put more, gave us a much better understanding of what the real world is like and what the real solutions could be.
For the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, I'm Sevilla Mann.
Students on the U of I campus recently worked to create common ground on a day that represents celebration for some and catastrophe for others. Gia Kyugan has this story.
Each year, U of I students who support Palestinians in the Palestinian struggle come out to protest on Israeli Independence Day. But this year, some members of the Muslim and Jewish communities smoothed out the political tension. I'm Gia Kyugan reporting. May 7th, the Israeli community celebrated Yom HaTzmaut, the day the State of Israel became a nation in 1948. Some feel strongly that the founding of modern Israel brought on the occupation of the Palestinian state. Graduate student Miriam Sob was only one of two marchers to protest the Israeli celebration this year. Sob says Hillel, the Jewish organization, succeeded in suppressing the voices of protesters by doing activities with the Muslim community.
I'm friends with a lot of the Israeli Jewish students, but at the same time, I still have my views, and that's why I'm out here today. Every day you hear dozens of Palestinians killed, and it's always, the ratio is always more Palestinians than Israelis, so that makes me wonder. 55 years ago, there wasn't an Israel, and I don't know why people don't realize that 55 years ago, it was my grandfather's land, which has now been demolished and taken over.
Senior Sava Musin from the Hillel Leadership Council and four friends started a dialogue group between Muslim and Jewish students called Bridges last spring. Amusin says he formed this group because of his experience with racial hatred on campus.
I was walking down the quad one day and saw a pretty negative chalking. You were probably here at that time, so you kind of remember the chalkings that were going on. They were kind of anti-Israel chalkings. They were done, many of them were done by divestment, which I didn't know at the time. I didn't know anything about it. And the chalkings very much disturbed me, as you know, I felt personally attacked. I felt really sad for the people, other people who may have been kind of attacked by them or hurt by them.
Amusin later found out why some members of the pro-Palestinian group called Divestment wrote the anti-Israel chalkings. Amusin says he learned those members of Divestment were simply trying to make a political statement. Amusin says he wishes there was more open communication instead of one-line attacks. Former Illini student government president Sara Bukhari from the Muslim Student Association says she also wants both communities to develop a deeper understanding of one another. She blames the media for dehumanizing the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
The sound bites, that they don't let you see a person. We just say things in blanket terms, like the Iraqis. Yeah, like, what does that mean? Like, it could be, there's so many different types of Iraqis even, like, you know, or like the Palestinians. Like, the Palestinian living, like, in the Gaza Strip has a completely different life than, like, the Palestinian who's a refugee living in Puerto Rico. Yeah, but they're both Palestinians, and we clump them all together.
Sara Bukhari and an active student leader from the Jewish community are striving to break down the political barriers on campus. Bukhari met Allison Siegel, president of the Hillel Leadership Council, at the university's Leadership Institute last summer, and they've developed a stronger friendship ever since. Siegel says over coffee, Bukhari and she came across an idea to ease the political tension surrounding the Israeli Independence Day celebration.
We're very often finding similarities, such as the fact that both Judaism and Islam are on a lunar calendar, and that both faiths incorporate fasting. We joked for a while that we should really set up a display about all these similarities to show people that we really have more in common than not.
Bukhari and Siegel have made their joke a reality. The cultural symposium called Common Ground in the Holy Land took place May 6th, the evening before Yom HaTzmaut. More than 100 people viewed the exhibits highlighting the similarities between the Muslim and Jewish communities. Students heard songs, prayers, and stories in Arabic and Hebrew in one room. Daniel is neither Muslim nor Jewish, but still feels the Common Ground event is important to the entire campus community.
Some people think that things will stay the way they are, that they can't really make a difference. Some people aren't really aware that it matters in some people's lives, that some people's lives are really hurt or damaged by the conflict or by some people attacking them or opposing their views. So I'd like to think that if we educate people more on this campus, like this event is trying to do, that will decrease apathy on campus.
This is Gia Kyugan reporting.
Amen.
Longtime Parkland College history professor, community activist, lesbian, and Champaign resident Mary Lee Sargent was recently honored at a dinner that featured her peers, elected office holders, feminists, former students, and friends. Sargent came to Champaign in 1966 and has spent the last 37 years teaching U.S. history and advocating for social change. She is most well known for forming the grassroots group of second-class citizens, which used direct action to pressure the state legislature to pass the Equal Rights Amendment. In 1982, Sargent and other women from the grassroots group of second-class citizens chained themselves to the doors of the Illinois Senate and occupied the state capitol for 4 days, drawing hundreds of supporters. Sargent is leaving Central Illinois in June to retire in Concord, New Hampshire with her partner, Ann Eisenberg. Set to the theme song from the movie The Color Purple, here are audio clips from some of the speeches given to honor Sargent at her dinner.
We sure ain't got a whole lot of time.
For more information about Mary Lee Sargent, her work, her papers, and pictures of her direct actions, visit maryleesargent.org. That's MARYLEESARGENT.org. Thanks to Kim Kranick for producing that piece. That wraps up IMC Radio News for this week. Contributors included Gia Kugan, Savilla Mann, Kimberly Kranick, and Kevin Heinrich. The coordination of the UC IMC Radio News is funded by the Funding Exchange's Paul Robeson Fund for Independent Media. If you'd like to get involved with this show, drop us a line at radio@ucimc.org or call 344-8820 extension 1. No experience is necessary. Archives of this program are available at the IMC website, www.ucimc.org. Financial contributions are also welcome. You can send those checks to the UCIMC Care of Radio News at 218 West Main Street, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. Take care and see you next week.